So I'm going to teach a sermon that I wrote a while ago, but I feel it still resonates up to this day. And it's very important to me. So when I came to the US, I came here as an asylum seeker based on my sexual orientation as a gay man. And I used to be a pastor in my own country, Nigeria, but I had to leave the church because the church was no longer accepting of me and my sexuality. But as I begin to find myself and embrace the person I am, I begin to read that scripture and it speaks more and more to me. It said, the rainbow is a covenant with God. When God said to Noah and his son that this is the covenant I have established with you, what more can I say? The Bible said it all. God has established a covenant with his children. I would love to share a personal story with me, like a relationship I had that reminded me of what it means to exemplify our responsibilities as children of God. When I was in college in 2010, I was going through one of the most difficult times of my life because, you know, in college, like there's expectation from you to succeed, but you're also taking like money from your parents and you have to conform to your family and so many other things like that. So there was this expectation that was coming from me, and I'm the last in a family of four. So I'm the only person in my family to also go to college. So there was a lot of pressure on me to be successful and not to like misbehave or do something crazy, stuff like that. So I was struggling at that time with my sexual orientation as a gay man, but I was trying to hide who I was because I felt like after I've gotten admission to get into college and my parents, they are struggling financially, but they are still paying for my college. I'm not going to do this to them. It was like, it's going to be a disappointment to my family. So I ended up hiding to go on a gay dating app to try and meet somebody. So this guy decided to meet with me. We chatted on the app and he invited me to come and see him in another town from my school. So I was like, this is far away from my family. This is far away from my school. It's nowhere. Nobody knows me. I'm going there to go and see him. So when I went there, it was like a marketplace. So a market in Nigeria is kind of different. It's like people are selling clothes, selling food. It's like a supermarket meets with like a farmer's market meets with like a street closure. Everything is just happening simultaneously. So I was standing in front of a kiosk, like somebody's store, and the car honked and I saw, I don't know the guy that I was chatting with because he was like, he wants to be secretive. He doesn't want anybody to know. So as he honked, I turned, he was like, hey, come in. When I came in, we were just quiet and we drove off the market. We were driving towards this place. We drove into a quiet part and continued driving. And when we got to a certain place, he stopped and parked his car. And I was like, let's just walk a little bit. Does he want people to see me and him in the car? And he told me that I told people at the place we are going to that you are my friends. Younger brother, you're going to school and I'll give you transport, da, da, da. So I was like, okay. So when we got to this place, I discovered that it was a reverend in the Anglican church, like a senior pastor in the Anglican church. We went upstairs, I had food to eat, and I was just thinking about it, like this person obviously is dealing with his own demons. I don't know what he's struggling with, but he cannot come out to people around him because he wants to protect himself as an Anglican priest, but he really wants to do something else. So I was asking myself, like, why would somebody hide who they are to protect, like, a status they have in society? But looking inwardly, I was that same person, hiding who I was from my family, hiding who I was from my school friends, so I could be somebody else in the eyes of people. So I didn't do anything with him. The next morning, I took my stuff. I was like, I'm going back to school. It's okay. Then I heard that my grandmother was very sick. So from that place, I traveled back home to go and see my family. And when I got home, I saw my grandmother in the bed. She was very, very sick. And my grandmother, she's the only person that consistently prays for me. She's the most religious person in my family. She always prayed for me. She was like, Daffy, you succeed, you be a doctor, you go to school, you get married, I'll carry your children. She always prayed for me. So I love my grandma so much. And she was sitting on the bed, like almost lifeless. And my mother was on the bed with her. I waited. My mother went to the kitchen to make food for her. Then I sat with the bed with my grandmother. I knew that she was going to die. And I didn't want her to die with me telling her a lie. So I came out to my grandmother. I told her that, Granny, I'm gay, but I don't want you to tell anybody. And she looked at me and she hugged me consistently. And she said, I love you. Despite all, I still love you. And it reminds me always of the covenant between God and Noah, that we put the boundaries, that the social structures and constructs that separate us between one and another in the society. God did not set a boundary between heterosexuality or homosexuality. It's just all about love and the connection we have within each other as human beings. People who have pushed away their family members from being loved and accepted because of their lack of understanding of a certain thing that they are doing is not really showing the people around them what love really means. So my grandma showed me that day that love is unconditional. It doesn't tell you you have to behave in a certain way. God did not tell Noah that you have to be straight faced, take this amount of things to do this or do that. That's only when I will have a covenant with you. No. He said, I establish my covenant with you that a rainbow in the sky is a sign I will never destroy the earth with flood again. And that is the covenant we need to have with one another as human beings, is that we will love people regardless of the boundaries and barriers we want them to jump through for them to be deserving of our love. I will give you an example. When my grandma embraced me, she said, I love you. I really love you, no matter what. From that day onwards, I embraced myself for who I am. And when I continue to look at the scripture, according to Songs of Solomon 1:15, the Bible even said it. It said, because most people that are not accepted for who they are, they look to other things like drugs. Some people are depressed. Some people even commit suicide because they feel like they are not deserving of love. But the Bible said it here to all of us, Songs of Solomon 1:15. It said, how beautiful you are, my darling, how beautiful you are. Your eyes are like those. God created his children in his own likeness. He wants us to be like him, a light to the world, to shine bright and show love and kindness, be forgiving and loving to everyone. Hate and discrimination of any human being is not of God. It's man-made. There are millions of excuses why people don't accept gay people. I use the word gay or LGBTQ people, and I cannot go into all of them. But take a look at the early father of Jesus, Joseph, his earthly father. An example, Joseph accepted Jesus as his son in Matthew 1:18, the first book of the New Testament. There it is. He said, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. If Joseph can accept Jesus, we pray to, without understanding the mystery of his existence, why can't the church of today accept gay people? Because they want us to define who we are in totality before they can accept us, which is not what the Bible preaches. Because if that is what the Bible preaches, Jesus' existence is a mystery to so many people, but we still accept him. as our Lord and personal Savior, and we follow his teaching. And if we can do that, why can we discriminate against our fellow man? Hebrew 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Joseph was a man of faith. Do we identify as people of faith? If the answer is yes, what is holding us back from fully loving and accepting every single person around us? This brings me to an issue that we're having today in America. I'm an activist. I work with homeless people here in New York City. I'm an immigrant. I'm a gay person. I'm Black. I'm a refugee. I have every reason to be angry with like right-wing people that do things sometimes that are unimaginable. But I always say to people, it is not my responsibility to hate, dislike, discriminate, or fight other human beings. It is not even my responsibility to correct, but it's my responsibility to love regardless. Because if we continue to butt heads and don't love, how can we be able to bridge the divide between us? I was a victim of mob violence. I forgive the people. I love them regardless because I know that they are ignorant. And the knowledge I have of their ignorance is hurting me all the time. And I'm like, God, why did you put me in this position that I have to be aware that this thing is wrong? And this other person cannot even see eye to eye that what they are doing is ignorant. But I don't know. That is a covenant we have between ourselves and God. And we shouldn't compare ourselves with other people or judge the grace we have to forgive regardless of the hurt or shame or pain we have felt between ourselves and other people. This week is my father's funeral in Nigeria. My father and I had a rough relationship, but when he died, they called me like, hey, we have to build a house. We have to do stuff for his funeral. I jumped into it because I have this mentality of like, loving people regardless is the only responsibility I have to give to anybody around me. So that is the same message I'm trying to teach today. It is because of this Christian church that laws are written to discriminate gay people all around the world. The same church that preach love and acceptance. It's the same church that is pouring dark money into funding hate against LGBTQ people in different parts of the world. The same church that preach love and acceptance. Some churches say that they are welcoming and affirming of gay people, but in the same breath, they can't marry gay people in their church. They won't ordain gay people as ministers. No, we can't employ gay people. And you slap a label, welcoming and affirming. What are you welcoming? And even what are you affirming? The rainbow is a covenant between God and man. And if God can establish a covenant with man without consequences, there is no reason why we as his children should establish covenant with our neighbors with consequences. Then, if you are in a covenant with God and you cannot be in a covenant with your fellow man, what kind of covenant are you having with God? In Genesis, as I read, verses 17, and God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. And I will remember my covenant. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look unto it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. In the New Testament of the Bible, the message of Jesus was radical acceptance of everyone. As a result of the kindness, Jesus was also met with kindness, like the Samaritan woman. The message of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Jesus asked her to give him a drink, and she was not having that faith to see beyond what Jesus was presenting at that point. I'm not asking us to have a very big faith. I'm just asking for something small today. And that small faith I'm asking for is to follow Jesus' message of inclusion and welcome. I don't want you to go and hug people that you feel indifferent about, but make them feel included and welcome everywhere you go to. Don't tell people you are a Christian. Show them what Christianity means. And Christianity is being an example to people out there. It's easier to have a message, but it's difficult to follow the message. So many people teach things that they have not been able to process in their personal life. But I have eaten this message and I live with this message of inclusion and welcoming of all people around me. Let me give you an example. This is the last example. It's kind of in the workplace, but I think it's applicable in this setting because we're trying to build an inclusive and welcoming place for everybody. Imagine in this place right now, as a person of color, I'm a diverse figure among you. That is diversity. It's very easy. But the most difficult is inclusion. If you have to make a decision in this place, and I am not included in the decision-making process, you have achieved diversity, but you have not achieved inclusion. So gay people might be in your congregation, but if they don't feel included in the decision-making process, if they don't feel like they are welcome in this place, and inclusion is not your interpretation. This is the most difficult part. Inclusion is the interpretation of the person feeling like they are included. So it has nothing to do with how you judge it. Go around and say, oh, we're a very inclusive place. It doesn't really matter. If the people that are coming in does not feel included, then you are not inclusive of everybody at that point. I'm approaching the ending of this message. Jesus would not distinct one from another. Neither should we, as children, do the same. Be friends to one another. Love yourself and love your neighbor as the self. This is the commandment of God. Many Christians say that LGBTQ people have nothing in common with the church. And I ask, what did Jesus have in common with the Samaritan woman? And I ask, what Bible do you read when you say that LGBTQ people do not have anything in common with the church? Because God said, just in a few pages we read here, that he made man in his own likeness. That means I am the likeness of God. You are in the likeness of God. We are all in the likeness of God. I leave you today with a message to ponder on. If Jesus was here today, what would he have done? Like, I'm not talking about LGBTQ people. I'm talking about like everything that is happening in the world. The coronavirus is happening. People are dying. People are suffering. A lot of things are happening in the world. Just a few certain people are paying attention on how they could exclude other people in the society. Instead of thinking at this point that there's an health scare and a lot of things are happening in the world, how can a majority of the people have access to healthcare services? How can we be inclusive of people that are institutionally marginalized? How can we make sure that nobody sleeps on the streets, people have food to eat so that the disease doesn't continue to spread? Instead of we to be thinking of inclusion, a lot of people are thinking of exclusion. Let's exclude homeless people. Let's exclude poor people. Let's exclude this from the healthcare system is overpowering, this is overpowering that. That is how exclusion works in human. When issues come up, during the AIDS crisis, the coronavirus pandemic was swift and the response was fast. During the AIDS crisis, AIDS was found in 1930. It took up to 1981 before they named it a disease. And It has devastated the community so badly and continuously to devastate, But because this virus is like affecting the general population the same way it's affecting everybody, everybody's taking it seriously. But when issues come up, why is our response to exclude the marginalized community instead of including them in our decision-making process? Let's ponder on that question. I believe if Jesus was here, he would have told us to listen to the word of his Father. And the word of God, as written in the book of Genesis, said that the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look unto it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on earth. That is, if we continually see the rainbow, that means God's covenant with man is still established up to tomorrow. And that covenant is that he loves us regardless, and he accepts us regardless of who we are. He said, he didn't say man. He said, between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth, that is both lions and cows and chickens and hens and cats and dogs, everything. God did not exclude us to be like, oh, we are the most high being, we are the most functional human being, or stuff like that. We created the category for ourselves. According to God, you and your cats and your dogs and your cows and your chicken are all living creature. But man has to create a way to separate. I have a car, I have a plane, I have a jet, I have this, I have that, so that we can be able to distinguish ourselves from others. And one other characteristic in which we can use to distinguish ourselves, if it's not being in a relationship, is, are you straight or are you gay? That is a distinctive characteristic to make us feel good about our insecurities, about ourselves, not about the people and their life. And I will say this because I think it's very important. If you come to the issue of like LGBTQ identity, many people think about how do LGBTQ people have sex? This is a question a lot of people like fight about. But I say to myself, like, I never ask people how do heterosexuals have sex. Okay, they'll say there are some certain group of LGBTQ people that are into parties and everything. Oh my God, there's 4% of LGBTQ people in the world. The 96% of the population are straight. Can you label out everything heterosexuals do in the world? You will go crazy. But I don't want to talk about that. It's just too much. But this is something we need to actively counter. When people bring messages like this, you'll be like, yeah. So if you have to make an objective mathematical calculation, why would we spend $1.5 billion for a primary election in the Democratic presidential election when we have only 170 registered voters in America? 170,000 registered voters divided by 1.5 billion. That means everybody will get $250 million. There will be no poverty in America. Who makes that math? Nobody. But you know the math they make. Sorry, but it's very funny how people become so analytical and mathematically inclined when it comes to discrimination or exclusion, but not social inequality, but not the difference in salary between the richest men in the world and the poorest people in the world, and not the person sleeping on the streets, and not the immigrant who came to the country. It's the immigrant who came to the country that is the problem, not the people who have money that are going to space just to cross the blue orbit, like an expensive roller coaster for $250,000. Oppression makes you focus on the marginalized instead of the oppressors. Now, when the marginalized start experiencing any form of joy, people frown at them instead of to celebrate with them. And that is a major issue we all have as human beings. All we need to be in true covenant with God is to be kind to one another and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So say to the person next to you that I love you always. Say it like you mean it. And let that be your message each day. Love is the answer. Love is the message from God. If the rainbow is an established covenant between God and man, your covenant between you and others is love. Thank you.